Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's begin with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart wide open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's begin with our first reading from the book of Sirach, chapter 35, verses 12 to 14 and 16 to 18. And here it is. The Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From the book of Sirach, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we begin with the beautiful phrase focusing on the justice of the Lord. The Lord is a God of justice. This should bring us comfort, because there are many unfair situations in life. But we know that with God all things are possible. And so here in the book of Sirach, we see God telling us that He is a God of justice, fairness, equality, goodness, trying to make all things right through His intervention. Because once again, there are many difficult situations where things are unfair, unkind. What can we do in these situations? Can we pray and ask God to intervene once again? I know in working in prison ministry, there are sometimes unfair situations for inmates in court as well as in jail or prison. There are sometimes unfair situations due to pride, prejudice, and territorialism. But again, God is a God of justice, and He brings justice to unfair situations. So if you're out there and your situation is one of those, I suggest that we pray right now for those people out there who are victims of inequality, unfairness, and all kinds of situations, both inside and outside prison walls. Let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we pray for our listening audience today who are victims of unfair situations, that you, Father God, a God of justice, will hear their prayers and will answer them in your time and in your way. But you will deliver them from unfair situations, unkind circumstances. We ask that you defend all people, protect all people. And above all, at this moment, Father God, we thank you for all of the good things, the gifts, graces, and blessings that you have given us. But we do pray for your hand to work within these unfair situations. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the word goes on to say that the Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. So unlike situations where there are there's nepotism and things where people are cut from the team because they just can't cut it, they can't make it, they're not good enough in the eyes of the coach or other players, where God is concerned, he shows no favorites, and no one can be cut from the team of believers in God. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're coming from. God knows no favorites. We're all created equal in the eyes of God. And God goes on to tell us here that the one who serves God willingly is heard. His petitions will reach the heavens. So we want to serve God willingly and not out of obligation. We don't want God to be an obligation. We want him to be number one. Out of the goodness of our heart, we want to help other people and do the works that we are called to do that God has prepared for us. We don't want to be unwilling to serve God. We want to bring the peace and love from God to other people. Again, not out of obligation. And one of the things that we sometimes see is that people are doing things out of obligation. And there's so many works that we can do. If you're going to visit someone in a hospital, wouldn't it be nicer to take your time, bring them some flowers or something, and maybe pray the rosary with them, talk to them, listen to them, spend some quality time getting to know them, versus making a hit and run and leaving right away? Not making it an obligation is one of the goals that we should have. In doing God's work, we should do it because we want to do it. We want to please God. And it's powerful. And God's asking us truly to serve God willingly, because then he will hear our prayers. As he says, the one who serves God willingly is heard. And that's you and I, my friends. That's where we want to be. That's the zone we want to live in. We want to do things willingly. We don't want to have God twisting our arm to serve other people. He says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And whatever you did not do for the least of your brothers, you didn't do it for me. But he gives us free will. a free choice, a free decision to make on our own, to serve God willingly, make a sacrifice of our time, to give something up, maybe 1 to 2 hours a week, to serve other people. He's calling us to serve God willingly. And then our prayers will be heard. The Lord talks about the prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest until it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds. And in God's time and in His way, our prayers will be answered. Let's go to our second reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 and 16 to 18. From the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat, and bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our reading from St. Paul to Timothy today, St. Paul sums it up at the end of his life, knowing that his time is near. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Who are we competing with, my friends? Who is St. Paul referring to? I have competed well, because the opposition is out there, and you and I will have to compete with them. The atheists, the agnostics, the distractions, materialism, pride, prejudice, the superego. There's so many things that will compete with us, trying to draw us away from God. So many things, so many people. Sometimes in our own families, people will draw us away from the faith. But St. Paul, in his own life, a persecutor of Christians, a man converted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, changed his life through God's intervention. And God gave him a second chance to do something great for God. He says, I have competed well. And like an Olympic champion who prepares for his sport, his race, he spends hours and hours and years grooming himself for the competition. And St. Paul himself is like a competitor in the Olympics. He says, I have competed well. I have finished the race. Like a marathon, 26.2 miles. It's hard to do. Unless you prepare for it, it will be difficult to finish. And this life this faith journey that you and I are on, we too must finish the race and compete well. And like St. Paul, we want to keep the faith and not go outside the box, because he says, I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. The faith in Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. The faith in the gospel that the Lord delivered to the apostles and to the people. And St. Paul goes on to say this, but to all who have longed for his appearance, they too will receive that crown of righteousness. He makes it clear, the crown of righteousness awaits him, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to him on that day. But he makes it clear, not only to me, but to all who have longed for Jesus Christ's appearance. Are you and I waiting, wondering? Are we inspired, encouraged by Jesus and his coming? Are we excited to know that the Lord will be back for us? Because this is what St. Paul is telling us. We too, as we long for his appearance, will one day be given the crown of righteousness that await us. And the word goes on to say, at my defense, no one appeared on my behalf. So St. Paul defending himself as a advocate for Jesus Christ is in a difficult position. Everybody deserts him. And this happens when people are incarcerated. And St. Paul was incarcerated multiple times. And here he makes it absolutely clear once again that no one appeared on his behalf. No one stood up for him. He was isolated. Everybody deserted him, and that happens. Families disown their children sometimes, their siblings, after months or years of incarceration. People will desert you, people will disappoint you, but God will not. Because God was there for St. Paul. And this is the message that we must understand, that St. Paul, the great role model for us as an advocate for Jesus Christ, wrote 13 books of the Bible, whose reading is read every Sunday at the second reading. St. Paul brings us the message that God will never desert us, but that people in our own families, our own friends, will desert us. But God was there for St. Paul to strengthen him. He said, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And this is where you and I need to be smart and go to God, go to our Lord Jesus Christ for strength and courage and perseverance as we proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ and his Father in heaven and in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. As we say in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, we recognize the Trinity each and every time. And St. Paul leads us to Christ so that we too can be strengthened as he was, because we will be challenged in different ways at a workplace, in our homes, in relationships. We will be challenged, and to overcome these challenges, we must look to the Lord, turn to the Lord for courage and strength to persevere through difficult times. And we're in good company, my friends, because St. Paul and the apostles, Moses, Abraham, so many examples of people who were challenged because of their belief in Jesus Christ. So we, too, are in good company. Have comfort in that. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And here it is. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, we are reminded of the need for humility amongst men. And to be careful not to elevate ourselves to the level of God. And we're reminded that God is number one and we must be number two. And God says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And there are many examples of people who have been humbled, taken down from positions of authority, positions of wealth, super wealth, and losing everything. God has a way of teaching people a lesson. And once again, he says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So God appreciates when you and I will humble ourselves for the glory, honor, and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we will humble ourselves, get to our knees, use a childlike faith without arrogance, without overconfidence, with great love, zeal, enthusiasm, as we do the works of our Lord Jesus Christ for our Father in heaven. We need to display more humility, and it's important. And in the Gospel of Luke, we are reminded of the consequences of lifting ourselves up too high, making ourselves more important than we should, and then suffering the consequences of being humbled by our Lord himself. Isn't it difficult, my friends, to show humility amongst men? It's one of the traits that a lot of men lack, but God calls us nevertheless to be more humble, to be more compassionate, to say things to our children, to our wives, to our parents, like, I love you. I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. Are these phrases too hard for you and I to say when necessary? Or do we just walk away without offering apologies and let the chips fall where they may? God calls us to a higher standard, to show humility amongst men, to be role models for our kids and grandkids, and to bring the peace into homes and into hearts. Our Blessed Mother says at many apparition sites, pray for peace in your own heart. And when you have peace, you'll be able to bring that peace to other people. And it's difficult, my friends, to bring peace to anyone without humility. Without humility, it's very difficult to say please, thank you, once again, I love you. It's very difficult to do the things that God calls us to do, which is to serve other people, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love one another, to care for your wife as you care for your own body. We must humble ourselves. Humility amongst men. Very often, a lack of humility will lead to a disunity, a division between two men, even in their own families, whether they be spiritual brothers in Christ or blood brothers from the same family, blood relatives, very often will go to their death without conversation because of a lack of humility. And once again, in the Gospel of Luke today, God calls us to a higher standard, to humble ourselves in front of other people, doing the will of God, whatever God tells us to do and not to do, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the will of God. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our show for today. Have a great weekend, and thank you for joining us here on Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.